Welcome back, Bad Therapy episode 33.
Ooh, that kind of rhymed.
Really? No, oh, yeah, like, empathetic. Hey, baddies.
Yeah, cheers.
What's up, bad bitches?
I'm pouring myself another glass of wine.
I'd just like to apologize formally for the inconsistency in that podcast. I'm going to let Allie take this one, but it's really not our fault.
So basically this summer, even though we're both working girls, and we don't really get a summer vacation, there's still a lot more that happens in the summer months. And what we've realized is that we would rather be honest with you guys than disappoint you.
Totally.
And since August is a very busy month for Madison, July was a very busy month for me, like as far as travel goes, we decided that something that we can actually stick to is every other week a podcast. Once summer has died down, we will be right back to our regular scheduled posting. Another factor is right now we film at my beautiful, amazing, lovely mother's house, and it is a bit out of the way for us. I am in the process of moving into my own house, and we are going to turn that house into the studio. So we were
studio update. It's gonna be amazing.
We were originally planning on doing like a bit of a rebrand. I don't know if that'll all fall into place when it does, but once that all happens and the move is done and everything's set up, we will have no excuse because we'll be living like 3 minutes from each other to film. We'll both be in town. We won't be traveling anymore.
It'll be cold. We'll be sad. We'll be fat. Like, it'll be perfect.
Yes, we'll be ready to just sit here and cry to you guys.
And it's not an excuse at all, because like, we've been very consistent about this.
Yeah, we're not proud.
And we're going to continue to be consistent. Yeah. That's not something that's going to change. Yeah. We're just setting the expectation for until that point, until we're able to be in our new studio and kind of relaunch, it's every other week. Yeah. That way there's no disappointment and there's no pressure on our side.
Yeah, and we wanted to communicate that to y'all so that you didn't think that we were just like falling off or losing interest in the podcast. If we could be here filming as often as we would like to be, we would be. We are just so fucking busy. It is so hard to keep up with. And like, unfortunately, this is not our only job. We've said this 100 times, but...
I don't know if you guys knew, like, this isn't our only job.
If it were, we'd be on top of that shit. So maybe one of these days, manifest. But until then, we're not going to give you an exact date, but I'm thinking probably October we'll be back to regular scheduled.
I was thinking October.
Yeah, regular scheduled posting. I will definitely be moved into my house by then and everything will be set up. Maybe even sooner than that, but I'm not making any promises. So now getting on with the get on. Do you like how I stopped like to retract?
Yeah.
And then it was that.
And that's what you came up with?
Yeah, thank you. So I just want to rant tonight. And I asked Madison, I was like, this is going to be my podcast. Because last podcast, we got to hear about how happy Madison is and how great love is and how amazing life can be when you're in love. And we love that because you know what?
We love
us
love.
Us single down bad bitches, we would be nothing without the hope and the glimmer of what could be. And that is what Madison brings to
that's
the podcast.
That's so true though. Like if it was all sad all the time.
Like there's got to be, that's why this podcast works, I think, is because of the dichotomy of you and I and how not only personality wise do we have so many like vast differences, but where we are in our lives,
experience wise, like what we can relate to,
and like the advice we could give and the just the placements that we are in our life, like I think both are very valuable even to people in relationships or not in relationships. I think I find interest and I enjoy listening to people's stories regardless of what point in my life I'm in. So today's podcast is going to be very much a story time podcast.
Down bad sad bitch podcast.
I'm gonna be exposing my life a little bit, and that's okay because that's what we're here for. And I think it might help some other down bad
some
bitch.
Some of them down bad girlies.
Some other down bad bad bitch.
Down bad baddie?
Yeah, down bad baddie feel a little bit better about their situation, okay? So let's start from the beginning. I know y'all remember when I came on here all excited about some guy I was talking to. Which I will never do again. I'll
probably comes on the podcast like,
I'll probably do it again. If I'm not gonna lie,
I
but
can
like,
literally guarantee she's gonna do it again.
Oh, the first time it happens, the next time
she's gonna like meet a guy and be like on the podcast.
However, it sucks because it obviously didn't work out, and here we are. And just to be clear, the same person that I've pretty much talked about, like in the beginning, there was someone else, but we didn't really mention.
I don't think we touched on him.
We touched on like the shit he put me through, but we never really touched on like
the experience. Him. Yeah.
So then there was the new guy, and I remember the podcast where I was like, so I'm talking to someone new.
Literally, you even did the hair. Gag me. Oh yeah.
Fucking gag me. Okay. So it didn't work out. And I feel like I've said that on the podcast, like for the past couple weeks.
You've
like
gone back and forth. Yeah.
It hasn't been working out. One thing about me, I'ma forgive you.
I'ma forgive you, bitch.
And we gonna try again. And I'm really trying to like not do that shit anymore, because one thing that I know for sure is that when you know, you know. Whether that means you wanna be with someone or you don't. But like, you know when something isn't gonna work out. So prolonging the suffering, like just let go, or you're gonna keep getting dragged.
And it's so funny. She'll be telling me her situations, and I'm like, have you listened to this podcast? It's called Bad Therapy.
No,
like, go fucking.
Sometimes I try to vent to Madison and she will straight up podcast me. And I'm like, I will look at her. I'm like, don't fucking podcast me. That's my quote.
I'll hit her with a line that she has previously said on the podcast. So like, when you know, you know. And when you don't know, let go. Like,
do as I say, not as I do. It's obviously easier said than done. I've said that before too. And it's hard when you're in it, but it's so clear from the outside. But like, that doesn't change the emotion.
It doesn't change how you feel. But I absolutely love that. If you don't let go, you're going to keep getting dragged. How much more realistic of a picture could you paint?
Literally, imagine yourself in like a tug of war situation. You're hanging on for dear life. You're getting dragged across the dirt. If you don't let go, what do you want to keep getting dragged?
Your face is going to get burned. Like, because what? You think you're going to be able to stand up and pull it back the other way?
No.
After you're all beaten, battered, and bruised and all fucked up.
Yeah, after the other side has shown you that they're just going to keep dragging and dragging.
Oh, and maybe you get a little bit of leniency. You stand up for a second, you're feeling good. Boom, bitch, right on your face.
Fucking sand in your teeth and shit. Like, you're embarrassed, you're humiliated, you're dehumanized. That's what these men and women, mainly men are doing.
So what happened? Like, do spill my tea.
So because I like to fucking yap, I'm gonna keep it short. So basically, this guy shows up at my doorstep, not really, but sort of, and he's everything that I had been asking for, like so much communication and so considerate and all this shit. And I'm thinking, I'm overlooking all of the things because they're not like red flags. They're like beige flags. They're not even flags. They're just things that I wouldn't particularly want in a partner. But because I had been with so many fucking guys that couldn't even meet the most basic needs that I had, like communicate with me without just disappearing. Like, if you're gonna fucking have a busy day and disappear, let me know first.
Right.
And that was always such a hard concept for every guy that I'd been with prior. And he was like, to the degree of like, it's 3 a.m. and I text him because I wake up and he responds. And I'm thinking, looking back in hindsight, I'm like, okay, red flags.
Was it a little love bombing? Like, what? Yeah. So attentive to like a T. Like, it was.
But me being extremely damaged, I'm thinking like, oh my God.
This is amazing.
I love this.
To the point where you were willing to overlook some of his and it wasn't like characteristics that you would say maybe.
He wasn't like a bad dude.
He was like socially awkward.
We're just very different. Like, I'm very
fucking dumb and stupid.
No. We were just very, very fucking different. Like, he was very like to keep to himself, to the point where he didn't even want to come out and hang out with me and my friends. Like, that's obviously never going to work. But somewhere in my deluded mind, because I was feeling so seen and so heard with this person, I was willing to overlook it in the time being. Like, obviously I knew, because I'm not a fucking idiot, that it was going to be an issue at some point. But I thought, okay, but at that point we can work through it, because he was trying.
When, like, he treated you so differently,
and he was like trying, he would come out, like he tried, and he said that he's like, I'll try for you. And I was like, that's all I want, like, just try for me maybe. And I thought like, oh, he'd come out and he'd have a good time,
right?
So fast forward, it wasn't working out, blah blah blah. All of a sudden he's not responsive. He doesn't want to hang out. He's completely like flipped a fucking.
The man does a 180 kickflip, like Tony fucking Hawk.
And I'm sitting here thinking like, what the fuck? Every time I talk to him, he's like, no, I like you. So I'm sitting here like the logical side of my brain, and there's not much there, but the 1%.
The fucking last brain cell.
There's the emotional side, and then there's the logical side. Emotion usually overrides everything, which is how I get into these fucking situations. But I'm sitting here listening to him, and I'm like, okay, you're telling me everything I want to hear, and I believe you, quote, air quotes, believe you.
You want to believe him.
Because I genuinely still, in this moment, like, the empathetic understanding side of me, like, thinks he's being genuine. Like, I think that he's just got issues that I can't understand, and like, that's not my place. But then the logical side of me is like, you're being fucking played, because someone that cares about you would prove it, and someone that cares about you wouldn't put themselves in a position to lose you, and someone that cares about you would give a shit about how their actions make you feel.
Yeah.
So if you're getting anything less than that, that person just doesn't care about you, regardless of what they say. Like, they could tell you that they love you, they could tell you that they care, but are they showing you that? Actions speak so much louder. Actions are the only anything that you should give a fuck about. I don't care what phase you're at, the words that they tell you, because people, even if they feel the words that they're saying, if they're not able to act on that, then they don't actually mean it that fucking much.
That's why you cannot listen to his words. You have to listen to his actions, because actions are a direct representation of how somebody actually feels. I can say I'm a fucking three-nosed rhinoceros with ginormous fat, big fat titties.
But you're not.
Hello.
You got small boobs.
I'm wearing a push-up bra. So that's exactly how you know, because somebody is going to treat you. They can only use words for so long. How they act is how they feel. And people are only able to hide their true feelings with words for so long until their actions show you how they actually feel.
And here's the thing about that is people cannot reciprocate to you what they do not have. Somebody that doesn't like themselves, has a low self-esteem, doesn't love themselves, can't love you, can't show you peace. Somebody that's at war with themselves cannot show you peace, because they don't even know what that means for themselves. And so hearing what people say the first time they say it, you deserve better. They are not saying that because they want you to feel bad for them or tell them, no, I deserve you. They say that because they genuinely mean that in the moment. And as human beings, we decide to hear that and look past it because we feel like it's almost like a waving a white flag type of
sentence. To take it upon ourselves to be like, oh, you poor thing. Like, you're not that bad. Like, we can make this work, or we can fix it.
But genuinely, if I could give someone any piece of advice, is like, when someone says something to you, whether it's, I'm not good enough for you, you deserve better, I can't give you what you want, the one thing that I've learned in life is they mean that. They're not just saying that, because here's the thing about men, they don't say things in like a convoluted, coded type manner, how women, we try to like overthink shit. Like,
there's
men,
emotions in it. Yeah.
Men are very simple. What a man tells you, a man means. If a man says, I cannot give you this, he means that. If a man says, you deserve better, he means that. If a man says, I can't give you what you're asking me, he means that.
I don't want to be a burden to you anymore.
He means that.
Because guess what? He understands that he is a burden and he is not going to change it. If a man can say to you, I don't want to be a burden to you anymore, it means that he is not going to take the steps to stop burdening you.
He's not
going to
try anymore.
Are you going to accept him as the burden he is? Or are you gonna move the fuck on?
So fast forward, we are having some issues because his true colors, quite frankly, start to show.
The love bombing stopped.
He started to become very distant, very unresponsive, very like never wanted to hang out.
Not putting in any effort.
Putting in like literally no effort. And I was obviously like, what's changed, what's going on, what's happening? And I would get the same like song and dance where like, I like you, I just am trying to get to know you. And my thing is like, how the fuck are you gonna get to know me if you never fucking see me,
if you don't try to get to know me?
And he's always busy, he's always got, which like, Jesus Christ, if I had a fucking nickel for every time a guy's like,
I'm busy.
So busy, like, bitch, I'm fucking busy too.
Everybody's busy.
I make time for the people that I care about. Everyone does. The biggest tell in a relationship if someone does not like you is if they tell you that they are too busy, because nobody is too busy for something that they give a shit about.
Priorities. If you're a priority to someone, they're never going to be too busy for you.
Right. Because they'll make time for you because they want to. So this becomes obviously a very big issue. And there are a few times where I stood my ground. I'm sure you guys have seen this fucking roller coaster on the podcast where like, one day I'm not with someone, the next day I'm like, well, I don't know.
Well, maybe.
The problem with me is like, I'm just too forgiving and understanding and empathetic towards what people are going through, which is a good thing, but it's not a great thing.
Well, to the point where you put yourself in their shoes and you're like, okay, well, I see why they would have maybe acted like this or said this. Like, I understand it. Like, here's another chance.
Because I'm not the type of person that would really lie about who I am just to make an excuse for something, that I just assume that people won't do that either. So when someone genuinely tells me this is what's going on and this is why I haven't been responsive and this is why I don't have the capacity to be responsive, I believe that, because why would someone just make that up unless they're like an absolutely crafty, manipulative fucking psychopath, which I would like to believe most people are not. So we go through a phase where we hang out a bit more and we're talking more and I'm thinking, okay, things are looking really good. He goes, oh, I have a lot of family in town this week. He goes ghost. And I'm like at my wit's end with this shit, because it's now been almost 3 months of love bombing. Stage one, stage two, you're fucking very absent, full of excuses. Stage three, now you're back. And then spotty. All of a sudden, you're gone again.
Yeah. But the whole time saying how much they like you.
Yeah.
They like you, they like you, they like you.
Yeah. So I finally reached like my fucking breaking point. And I remember I called Madison this day because I basically had a really bad day at work where I was very overwhelmed with a bunch of shit. And all I wanted was to have like a shoulder to cry on, honestly, or someone to like ask like, how was your day? And me to just like unload, because we all have days like that where we just want to have someone that like listens and hears you and feels for you. And I remember this particular day, he was being rather absent, and it was after like the week that we had been really close with each other. And then all of a sudden he's just kind of like gone ghost again.
It's that push and pull is terrible. So
yeah, there was like this emotional part of me that was upset about that. But then there was like the really heightened emotional side of me that was really triggered by what was happening at work. And I remember asking about a conversation that I had been trying to have for like 2 days. And he literally was like, can we have this conversation another time? I just don't want to feel bombarded. And I fucking snapped. I was like, here's the thing. How about you go fuck yourself? Granted, I did not word it like this, but like to give you like
in so many words,
a quick synopsis. Like, obviously I was a bit more respectful because I am respectful. I was basically like, I've had a horrible fucking day today. And you would know that if you had fucking had the decency to even ask, but you don't. If you want space, take all the fucking space you need, because this is done. I'm done. Good night. Have a good one. Like, I said a bunch of other shit, but basically I said that and then I blocked him. And then I got really sick, and somewhere in my sickness, I unblocked him.
Poor just because, sick girl needed some love.
No, but I unblocked him just because I was like, that's fucking dramatic. I should have left him blocked. Ladies, leave him blocked. Yeah. Leave him blocked. Don't unblock him. I know you want to unblock him. Fucking leave that guy blocked. There's nothing good that can come from him texting you. And he might text you and you might miss the text. Leave him blocked.
You were meant to miss it because nothing's going to change.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, if you don't let go, you're going to keep getting dragged. So I unblock him. I don't hear from him. I don't expect to hear from him because he's very much the type of guy that doesn't like confrontation. Like last time I talked to him, I basically fucking cussed him out. I didn't cuss him out, but I was not very nice. And I basically made it very clear, this is done.
That you were done. Yeah.
So I didn't expect to hear from him, but I unblocked him. A week goes by, he texts me. I heard you were sick. Like, is there anything that I can do? And I'm just like baffled at this point, because at this point I'm a little bit over it, because anger really fueled my fire for a while. So again, to like fast forward, make a long story short, we finally have this conversation that I wanted to have the day that he told me, no, we're not having this fucking talk.
Look, can we talk about it later?
And I will wrap this story up really quickly right now, because there's too much detail that no one gives a shit about. Bottom line, we had this conversation. He kind of alluded to the fact that he was going to try a little harder. I was still 1 foot out the door, but like hopeful, because I liked him. And that's what happens when you care for someone, even if you know they're not capable of being what you want. And the thing that was hard for me is it's not like this person was a bad guy or like truly playing me. Like, I just don't feel like he has the capacity. Maybe it's his age. He's a lot younger than me, or just who he was, how he was raised, just the person that he is. Like, I don't think he had the capacity to hold space for someone like me. Like, I need a lot of reassurance, and I need someone that's very present and that like loves me the way that I love. And I'm a very full-on like lover when I do care. And like, I think it's hard for people that are very full-on like that to like not have that reciprocated, because even if someone is, it's back to the water glass theory, where it's like, if you have a half glass and they have a full glass and you pour it in and theirs is only half full, but if they pour theirs, then yours is just overflowing.
Right. And even though he doesn't mean it to feel like rejection, you still take it as rejection.
Absolutely.
Because that's the thing about people like that. It doesn't matter how they intended to make you feel.
Yeah.
It matters how you felt when they treated you that way.
Yeah, because intent does not equal outcome.
Exactly. Yeah. If their intentions were, oh, I like you and I just want to take my time and take it slow and this is who I am.
Yeah.
But the thing that pisses me off about this situation is that you told him so many times in such a calm, respectful, mature manner what you needed, how you needed it, and why you needed it. It's not like you were like being passive aggressive.
A bitch has abandonment issues. So when you disappear for 3 days, I immediately think that you're abandoning me.
But you know, here's the thing about that. Abandonment issues or not, trauma or not,
it's still not okay.
That is not the right way to treat somebody.
That would trigger anybody, yeah.
That would trigger the most healthy person in the entire world to be treated like you are an afterthought, even if he didn't intend you to be an afterthought.
Yeah.
You still felt like one.
Yeah. And I agree with you. And obviously, like, there's, again, the empathetic side of me still in this moment, because obviously this just happened tonight. Like, I'm getting to the end of this story, but the actual end of this happened tonight. And I do still feel empathy for this person. I just don't think that he was doing it. Anything that he did, I don't think that he was trying to hurt me. And I think that that's kind of like what got us to this place, is because there was finally one night after everything and after me ending it, and we finally talked, and he kind of alluded to the fact that he was going to put in a little bit more effort. He mentioned that maybe we could hang out one night. And this is pathetic, but I got ready for him to, not like I didn't get ready, but like I cleaned, like I put some laundry away that I probably would not have put away otherwise. I kind of planned out our night. There was like this show that was coming on at 8, and I'm thinking, okay, we could watch that together.
You were excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like, this would be fun. Like, is he hungry? Like, do I need to get a bottle of wine? Like, just thinking about it, like excited. Finally, like he's showing me. And again, I still have one foot out the door, but I'm thinking, okay, well, this is looking up, which fucking saying some shit out loud sometimes sounds so, you're like, what fucking the
fuck
pathetic.
Was I thinking? Yeah.
Basically, I don't hear from him. And I'm texting, 9 o'clock rolls around. I finally, like, I'm calling him, I'm texting, I'm blowing this man up. And
really?
Oh yeah. Not like blowing him up, but like, I'm like sending him like updates. Like, I know that he went to dinner with his family and stuff. So I'm like, he'll get back to me. 9 o'clock rolls around. That's when I start to like think, okay, it's getting late. And
not only is it getting late, but you also have not heard a peep.
Nothing.
After it was on the table that you guys were going to be seeing each other that night.
Yes, I agree. So I don't hear from this fucking man until 11 p.m. And by the time he finally reaches back out, I'm fucking hot. Like, I am...
Ain't nobody want to catch Ellie when she's hot, I swear.
I am not happy. And you know what? Like, he doesn't like confrontation. I kept trying to call him. And I wasn't going to fucking, like, cuss him out. I'm not going
to... You're just trying to communicate, I'm have just, a conversation. Yeah.
One thing about me that guys don't like is I'm very good with my words, because I'm very smart, newsflash, but also very emotionally intelligent. So, like, I can communicate how I'm feeling and what you've done wrong, especially when you gave me 6 hours to fucking sit there and think about why I'm
no
here.
Shit.
So give me enough time and yeah, like, I'm gonna have a lot to you. Say. But I'll do it respectfully. So I was trying to call him just to like talk and be like, hey, like kind of fucked up of you to not voice my concerns. He won't answer my calls. And basically he's like, I don't want to fight right now. I'm like, I don't want to fucking fight right now. You did this.
We could have avoided this fight by you just showing the fuck up like you said you were gonna.
So finally I get him on the phone. I explain my situation. Like, I'm obviously very upset. And he, for the first time ever, I think, realized how much like his actions do affect
how
me.
How he made you feel.
And I tell him, I'm like, do you see how upset I am right now? And that was kind of like, I think his like conscience stepped in, or conscience, or I don't know,
his
like
coming to Jesus moment,
something. But he was basically like, I don't want to bother you anymore.
What did we just say? If he says he doesn't want to bother you anymore, then don't let him bother you anymore.
So I'm thinking, when he says this, I'm like, so you're gonna flip this around on me because I'm upset and you don't want to bother me? Like, all I'm hearing is you're realizing that you're not willing to try hard enough to like avoid
to
fighting,
stop bothering me,
or to like hurt me. So like, you know you're gonna keep hurting me because you're not willing to do the literal bare minimum.
That's the thing that bothers me about that statement. I don't want to bother you anymore.
It's a you statement.
Because what is bothering me is your behavior.
Yeah.
It's so
and
easy.
And it's like not like a crazy thing to like alter. It's not like I'm asking you to change who you are as a person. It's
no.
Like, be considerate. You knew you were at dinner and you knew that you told me we were maybe going to hang out. Did you not think to maybe let me know when it started to get late?
Hey, this is going later than I thought it was going to. Let's take a rain check. It is that
it
fucking
is
simple.
So simple.
Because this is a thing. If you're thinking about somebody, if you care about the way that you make them feel, you're going to go out of your way to make sure that you're not hurting them. If they're not a thought in your fucking head, then of course you're not going to, you'll think about it when you get back to your phone at like
exactly.
11.
So this brings me back to the point where I'm like, I'm being fucking gaslit. Every time I talk to this person, he's telling me, oh no, I care. But I'm like, you're not acting like you care. This is not how somebody that cares acts. And the problem with this situation is like, I'm smart enough to see through the bullshit. But like, sometimes I'm like, am I dumb? Because this person would, it's not even like he's saying all of the right things. I don't know if it's like the empathetic side of me or if it's just the dumb bitch in me that hears him say like, I'm sorry. And like, you're right. And I just didn't think about it. And like this and that. And like, kind of understanding where he's coming from when he's explaining it, and then feeling like, I understand where you come from. It doesn't change how it makes me feel. Being able to like decipher that, but still understand where they're coming from rather than just being like an angry bitch.
Fuck you, yeah.
So anyways, we'll keep going with the story. Fast forward, so that conversation ends basically on a, can we talk about this later type of note.
Oh, shocker. He said he wanted to talk about it later?
So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday roll around. Haven't heard from him. So I finally, and like obviously, the night before I'm thinking, fuck this guy. I'm not ever reaching out. Like, this is my sign. This is a sign not to reach out. I reached out, but I waited till Wednesday. But the reason I reached out, and like, I probably shouldn't have, but because you can't like expect to get closure, right? But one thing about me, I'm gonna try to get closure. Because for me, I was in a place where I already wanted this to be done. I wanted to move on. I wanted it to be over. I just needed to hear him fucking say it. Like, grow a pair and say it to my face. If you don't want this, then I need to hear you say it.
Can I ask you why you feel like you need that in order to let go?
Because I feel like it just brings me to a place where I then can fully close the door in my brain. Like, if
there's nothing left on the table.
There's nothing left on the table. Then there's nothing left to fight for. And that's, I think, what gets me into such sticky situations is, like, a lot of the times when you're with, like, a narcissist, they're not ever going to tell you that.
No, they're going to drag you along until you are, again, a bloody stump.
Yeah, like, face 6 feet under.
If you don't let go, you're going to get dragged.
And not that him telling me he wanted to make it work. Like, obviously, his actions would have to have proved it to me. But because his actions weren't proving it, I just wanted it to be, like, agreed upon on both sides that this was done, so that I didn't have to expect to hear from him. I didn't have to sit around thinking, like, is he gonna text me? Like, breakups suck. Moving on sucks. It's a lot easier when you know the door is closed and you know that you have completely cut off communication. And that doesn't mean like blocking them out of nowhere. That means like they know that you're done.
Right.
So you know they're not going to reach out because you said you're done.
Yeah.
So I reached out. Obviously, there's a piece of me that was hoping he would be like, I want to make this work and like whatever. We would have probably gone in circles again and been in this exact situation a week from now or a month from now or whatever. I'm self-aware enough to know that. However, when you like someone, sometimes I would have probably dealt with it longer. Basically, I brought it to his attention like, hey, what the fuck is going on? Blah, blah, blah. He basically told me like, I like you. I've told you this. I just don't feel like I'm in a place where I know if I want to date you, and I would rather just be friends until we get to know each other better. And my response was literally like, mind you, I've had sex with this person. We're not friends.
At all.
We're not fucking friends. That's the most insulting way to describe our relationship, in my opinion.
And such a pussy way to describe the way that he feels,
right,
too.
Like, if you don't like me, but even till the end. Anyways, we'll get there. We're jumping ahead now. So so he basically is like, I would rather be friends with somebody and rather than jumping into a relationship. And I'm sitting here like, you motherfucker. I agree. Like, what the fuck?
Then we should have been friends in the beginning and taken that route.
Like, we're not friends.
Yeah.
My feelings for you. So basically my response was like, look, I have to remove myself because like maybe down the road we can be friends and we can start fresh, but not for a couple months at least. And until then I have to remove myself because I don't view you as a friend and I need to move on. And like, I can't keep this door semi open. We have to just completely close it.
Cause it stops me from going through other doors.
And so get this, you guys, get this. I'm feeling good. I say, thank you for everything.
I'm good.
I wish you the best. And I say, in quotes, not in quotes, but like, quote unquote, goodbye, my friend, because apparently we're just friends. He loves the message.
And the message is, there's intention, there's feeling, there's
thought.
Something that reciprocates a substance, response.
Yeah. Which I actually didn't think, knowing him, I didn't think he would reply, which I actually would have preferred to what he did reply, because his response was, and I shit you the fuck not, and the girlies that get it, was love you with the heart.
Because he's never said that before.
No. And what a fucking time to say love you, which granted, I'm aware that he probably meant that like as a friend, which in that case is even more insulting because how condescending, like love you, wish you the best.
Love
ya. But if he meant it in any other way, what a fucking,
fuck you.
What a fucking time to whip that one out. And anyways, I sent my last message. I was feeling good. I was feeling like, okay, this is what needed to happen. I looked at, he responded and I looked and I literally broke down into tears and we had to come, this was tonight. So we had to come film this podcast and I'm sitting like, you know, Sabrina Carpenter's trick where she sits and she says like, if you're crying, you don't want to fuck your makeup up. You just like hang your head over the ground and let your tears drop to the ground. I was literally doing that.
Did it work?
Yeah.
Nice.
Until it started getting into my eyelashes and dripping off the top of my eyelashes. And I was like, no, we can't have clumpy lashes.
No.
But the point of this is like, what the fuck? Where do men get off?
Because the second they see you getting ready to close the door, they have to shove a fucking foot in.
But like, is that what it was? Because it genuinely to me felt like the worst timing to say something like that. And like, knowing him, I think, and this is where I get myself into bullshit, because I feel like he probably said that because he probably does love me, like as a person, as a human. And like, he was probably just trying to be like, love you.
Love ya. Yeah.
Not even like in a like love ya, but like love you. You know, but like, to me, I read that and I'm like, love you, wait, you love me, which is
all of a sudden when you've been treating me like fucking a dumpster fire. So anyways,
it literally made me spiral because I was expecting no response. And then I saw that, which like is the only thing I've ever wanted to hear from him since we first started talking. And like, since I first started feeling those types of feelings for him, and like, all he could ever say was like, I like you, but like, not enough, basically. Like, you're not enough is all I can hear. You're not enough, not enough, not enough. Like, I'm unsure, you're not enough. And then he says that, and I was just like, so I blocked him.
And he's gonna stay blocked this time.
Yeah.
Because what did we say earlier? Leave him blocked. The thing that pisses me off about that interaction is that instead of having any sort of intelligent or emotional response to your very well thought out, mature message, he hits you with something that he knows, again, whether he intended it to be this way or not, he hits you with something that he knows is gonna keep you on the hook, keep you thinking, keep you wondering.
And that's exactly what it did. Like, I can't even explain to you the shift inside of my body when I saw that versus like how I felt. Obviously, I wasn't fucking thrilled with the way that I just had to end it. Like, I went into that conversation kind of thinking that, but I was thinking like, okay, I left this on a mature note. Like, I wish them the best. Like, maybe in a few months we can rehash and become friends and like just stay friends. But I made it very clear, like, we're just staying friends. And then for him to just hit me with the like, love you.
But that's the thing is like, maybe
it was like, do you? Because if you love me,
you wouldn't make me feel like this. That's exactly it. It's like, he might have feelings of love for you, right? We're human beings. The feelings of love are very real. Yeah. Whether that's with a friend or with your fucking goldfish, whatever it is.
My hamster.
Your hamster. The feelings of love are real, but the act of love is so much different than being able to just sit there and text out. You know how fucking easy it is to text someone, yeah, love you?
Well, and like, here's again, the thing is, I know him so well that that's not in his character. Even back when he was very responsive, like, he was always very, he's young. Like, that's not an excuse, but it's just the truth. And I feel like it, to him, whenever I would say like, it's just because you're young, it probably comes across very condescending. Like, someday he'll look back and he'll be like, oh my god, I was so stupid. But it's true, like, he lacks life experience and like things that only come with time
and experience.
And
yeah,
so I know that like his responses were never really well thought out, although he was very caring and kind, which he still to this day is, not as thoughtful and considerate, but still very caring and kind. He doesn't hold the capacity to respond to someone like as emotionally intelligent, intellectual, and well thought out as myself, which I understand, like, sometimes I can overwhelm specifically men. Never had this problem with women.
Mm-hmm.
But like, men are not like that. And so when a man can be like that, it's so attractive. But I understand that, like, I am more, even with you, like, I'm like, you're a very smart and well thought out person, but you're able to kind of like self soothe in a way.
I can be more reserved. Absolutely. Yeah,
and I'm not like that. Like, I'm very much like word vomit.
Yeah.
Not like a, I mean, it depends on the situation, but with him, even like when things were good, it was still an issue that like maybe in the future, which, by the way, ladies, every time you go through something shitty, like, it's really important to reflect on like, what did you learn
and what went wrong and what went right.
Something that I learned, like, every time I go through these things, I see something the next time I talk to someone, like, I'm able to clock it immediately. So something that I look for now, knowing that I need this in the future, is somebody that's very well written and well thought out, because that's what I need. I need someone that's like,
can articulate their feelings.
Feelings. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Exactly. Because you can feel things, but if you can't articulate it to me,
it doesn't matter.
He would say to me too, he would be like, because I think we talked on the phone and he was like, we just click really well and like, I really like you. And I literally was like, wow, that's the first time I think I've ever heard you say that. I didn't know you felt that way. And he's like, why would you
not know?
And I was like, do you think I can fucking read minds?
It's like a Neanderthal, you know, like, seriously, the caveman brain. Some people's brains are more developed than others in that way, particularly men, where if you have a more Neanderthal type brain, you have big feelings, big emotions, but you're not able to articulate. So you bang on wall, scream and yell.
But like, to be fair to everyone that
for real though, right?
Well, like, and like, not to come to the defense of the Neanderthals, but like, to be fair, like, you've known me for a long time. It's taken me a really long time to learn to articulate my big emotions in the moment, because in the moment I get very emotional and I see red, like I can't think. And then I get time to process and a couple days go by and then I'm able to like fully understand why I felt that way. And then I think back to the situation. I'm like, God, I wish I knew that in the moment.
Yeah.
Because I knew my feelings were valid. I just didn't know why. And so all I could do was scream and yell and cry. But now that it's been 4 days and I've had time to process, now I can, like, if I could go back in time and explain, like, obviously, again, life experience, now I'm more capable of doing that, because it takes like being emotional to understand your emotions, to process them, to like recognize them again in the future. Like,
exactly.
If you feel something one day and maybe it's the first time you felt that strong emotion, you get a couple days to process. The next time you feel that, you know why you're feeling that. You're able to articulate it.
It's literally like a dog with a shock collar. Like, the dog barks, they get the buzz, they get the warning, they don't fucking get it. They bark again, they get shocked. Okay, they don't get it though. How many times do they have to bark until they understand that the bark creates the shock?
Yeah.
The emotion creates the reaction. And how many times does it take you to go through extreme emotions and have a volatile reaction to realize that that's not actually how you want to articulate your feelings?
Yeah, or to realize like what's causing that emotion.
Well, and the whole point to this, like the lesson learned out of this, and obviously you can speak on it because it's your story, but whether it's a narcissistic, toxic, abusive, love-bombing piece of shit, or somebody who is just not on the same page as you, that maybe isn't a bad guy, but is the wrong guy. If you're seeing red flags and it's not working, you have to know when to walk away. And you cannot let your emotions cloud the judgment of, this is hurting me and this isn't showing me self-love, because he might not be a bad guy, but he is the wrong guy.
And one time I dated a guy and he told me, like, you need to love yourself. And I remember being like, fuck you for saying that, because I do love myself. The thing about self-love, it's really hard to understand, because in theory, we all love ourselves. But what does that actually mean? What I've realized through my experience here on earth is, to love yourself means to not put yourself into situations, or rather remove yourself from situations that hurt you. If someone is causing you pain, or if something is causing you pain, loving yourself is removing yourself, no matter how much it hurts you. Like, that doesn't feel like self-love, but that is the biggest form of love that you can do for yourself, because the amount of pain that you're going to go through by removing yourself is saving you so much pain in the long run. And it's actually a form of self-harm to stay in those type of situations, to stay in a situation where you're unhappy, not being treated well, heartbroken, brutalized, whatever the case may be. Loving yourself is loving yourself enough to say, I'm going to fuck my life up right now and be so upset because I know I deserve better. And I know that loving myself means taking myself out of this situation.
And I mean that you could not have put that better. True self-love is being willing to hurt in order to be better in the long run and to feel better. Because it's really easy to say, I love myself and I'm with this
guy that treats me like shit.
Like, specifically in cases of like domestic violence, and I can speak on this because I was abused. I always feel dumb when I talk about domestic violence.
No,
but
don't.
When you're in a relationship like that, like, you're able to easily be like, yeah, like, I have self-love, like, I'm here for this person, like, I'm showing up for this person. But it's actually abuse, it's self-harm to stay in a situation where you're not taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
And as much as it fucking sucks to pull out, because it hurts, and you're like, that's not self-love, that is genuinely the truest form.
Well, I remember when that guy told me, like, you need to love yourself. I'm like, I do love myself. But then I started to think, like, what does that even mean? Because, like, do I? If I'm allowing myself to be in a situation with someone that, like, doesn't care about me. And it's taken me so long to finally understand what it means to love yourself. Because it's not just, like, throwing on a face mask and, like, hopping in the bath and, like, life's all good, drinking a glass of wine.
Honey, that's,
like,
with self-care. Your girls.
That's self-care.
Not self-love.
Self-love isn't just going to the gym. Like, it is. Like, there's all of these factors. But, like, I think the most prominent way to prove your self-worth, your self-love, not to mention something that will make you more attractive to people that potentially might want to date you, is somebody that doesn't put up with bullshit.
Has a fucking standard for how they're going to be treated.
Yeah, like, isn't going to let someone walk all over them, walks away the first time and never comes back. Have you ever been with somebody that literally says, I'm done, and then you never hear from them again, and all you can do for the rest of your life, even though it wasn't that serious, is think about, like,
what the hell?
Where
Can I tell you the best fucking feeling in the world is walking away from someone the first time they do something wrong? I had a similar situation with a guy who was like hot and cold. The first fucking time this man was cold, we were out at the bars with our separate groups of friends. We were supposed to meet up. We had definitive plans to meet up. I didn't hear from this motherfucker till the next day. Guess who he never heard from again?
You.
And we were like in a relationship.
Yeah.
I just texted him. I was like, yeah, no, I'm good on that, actually. Yeah. Thank you. He was so confused, so hurt, showing up at my house, sending flowers. I'm like, listen, dude, if you say you're gonna show up for me, show up. If you don't show up, don't expect me to. Toodaloo, motherfucker.
Okay, so now that everybody here knows all the ins and outs of my love life, I wanna just quickly touch on something that I feel like I've been really bad about in the past, but like how to get through it. Something that really helps me when I'm feeling really sad, and I know this sounds very cliche, but like sitting with your feelings and really, really feeling those feelings. Like they say, the only way out of life is through. And we hear all of these things all of the time. And I am the first to say that when I'm going through heartbreak or anything that's stressing me out, my go-to is to just scroll on TikTok or to turn on a podcast or a movie or a TV show, or literally I will do anything.
Any distraction.
Go to the greatest lengths to distract myself. But that doesn't ever really let me process what I'm feeling. So this
past... just festers.
Exactly. And it doesn't get any better. It doesn't change. And at some point you have to deal with it. And it'll come out like 6 months later when you're not expecting it. Why am I still sad about this? Well, you never let yourself grieve it. And I was just telling Madison like off camera, and she was like, we should talk about this on camera. So something that has really helped me through heartache recently is I draw myself a bath. I get in the bath. Usually I'll listen to a podcast or music or something to just distract my mind. I will sit there in complete silence and I will just think. I'll think about everything that's stressing me out, everyone that's hurt my feelings, everything that's on my mind. I don't have anything to distract myself. I can't pick up my phone. I'm in the bath and I'll cry. Honestly, I'll sit there and I'll cry. And it sounds sad, but it really isn't, because by the time I'm done, usually I reach a point where obviously I still feel sad, but I get to a point within myself where I'm like, look at how you feel right now. And I think about what the cause of that is, the root cause. And I get like this little tiny little fire inside me where it's like, you know, you're going to be okay. And like, fuck them for making you feel that way. And then the next day comes and it's like my nightly routine at this point is like getting in the bath and sitting there and crying. But for me, it sounds silly. Like it's been really helpful because I'm very much somebody that likes to be chronically online. Like I will drown out the noise with anything that I can. And I made the conscious effort one night just randomly, which this is not something that I'm good at, for anyone that can relate to this. Like I'm not good at sitting alone because I'm very anxious. I get very overwhelmed, very emotional. I would rather just drown out the noise until I fall asleep.
Be distracted. Shit. Yeah.
And then wake up, go to work, be at work all day, and then repeat the cycle. But like I knew it didn't feel healthy. So it's been really helpful, actually, in the most depressing way possible, to just sit and cry about it in silence. And for me, the way that it works the best is when I'm in the bath, because I can't grab my phone. I'm in the bath. I
can't distract yourself.
And yeah. I'm like relaxed. It's warm. I have this purple light in my bathroom. I turn off all the lights and then it's just like me and this purple light. Like I'm sitting there and I just think, and I genuinely do come to a like revelation at the end of every session, every therapy session, we'll call it. And I just feel like I take a step forward, and not even just in like what I'm going through, but just in the fact that I'm learning to self-soothe. And it's something that I'm not good at, never have been good at, and something that I feel like is not very easy when you're an anxious person or you have abandonment issues or any type of issues. It's not easy to soothe yourself, especially when what is hurting you is something that could soothe you. So to be able to sit there and like soothe yourself, something that I'm learning is it builds up so much strength within myself to like sit there and sit in the pain and cry through the pain and feel the emotions. Like, and I'm the first one to say that I've been in denial all of this time because I'm so emotional. Whenever someone's like, feel the feelings, I'm like, yeah, no shit, I feel the feelings. But what someone means when they say feel the feelings is it means turn off your TV,
sit,
put your
feelings.
Phone down, sit there, think in the quiet of your mind, as harsh and terrifying and cruel as your mind might be in those moments, like sit there
sit
and absorb.
Yeah.
and think. And like, if you have to talk out loud with yourself, like it sounds silly, but talk to yourself, talk it out, think about it, think it through. I promise, even though you won't be there at the end, because like some days I get done with my little session and I'm like, well, I still feel like shit. But there was another stone overturned in that session because I had the strength to sit there with my pain, with no distractions, and feel that shit. And that's a hell of a lot more than a lot of people can say.
I mean, that is like the purest form of strength, because our generation specifically, a lot of generations before us as well, but like our generation is so distracted. It's so easy to pick up your phone and fucking think about anything else but your own life. Or for me, it was alcohol. I didn't want to deal with my pain, so I just would drink and go party. And it wasn't just drinking, like sad drinking in my room alone. It was like, I'm going to go be around people and socialize. And it feels like you're doing the right thing, right? Because you're
distracting
yourself. You're doing something that doesn't make you feel bad. Sitting around
feeling sad, yeah.
But that was the one thing I learned in therapy, was meditation specifically, and sitting with your pain, not just distracting yourself from it, but sitting in it, is the only thing that will actually make you stronger.
And can I just say, like, I'm somebody that really struggles with meditation. Me in the bath with no distractions available to me almost feels like a form of meditation, because I'm sitting there staring at the wall. All I have are me and my thoughts. And the main thing is meditation is to like quiet your mind. But if a thought comes in, to not fight it, to just allow it to be there, and then to allow it to pass.
To flow down the stream, yeah.
So that's kind of like, it's actually, and maybe this sounds silly because it seems like it would be so normal if the world weren't so consumed with all of the social media and easily distractive outlets that we can find at our fingertips. But like I said, for the past 4 or 5 years of my life, I've been chronically masking every thought that I have until I like absolutely can't anymore.
Right.
And it's just felt so good to almost like meditate
and sit in it
and sit with it in silence and just think and think and think, because the longer you think, you're gonna come to like a resolution within yourself at some point. And the scarier your thoughts get, the more healing you're doing.
The closer you are, yeah.
You're reaching like the depths of your soul that you've been hiding from. And like,
but that's so, we are so bad at being alone as human beings, as women especially, but in our generation specifically. Think about your day to day. You wake up, the first thing you fucking do is grab your phone. And from that moment until you get in bed at night, you do not have a second of peace. It is nonstop. You're driving, you're scrolling, you're working, you're working out,
people, yeah.
You're talking, you're this, you're that. I do not think that I have had a second alone with no distractions, maybe ever.
Well, and like, I'm not someone that's as active as you, because I generally enjoy to be away from people and like doing nothing. But even when I'm doing nothing, or even when I'm not distracted by anything, I'm on my phone. I'm scrolling, because I would rather be fucking distracting myself, which, let me just say, TikTok is a great source of outlet when you really, really can't do it, but a great time to practice being and sitting and just being is right before you go to bed. Like, I know a lot of people are against baths. Let me put you on. Get a fun light for your bathroom, like a dim, like you can change the colors, like a sunset light, sunset lamp. I put it on purple. Purple is my color. Makes me feel calm. I love lavender. I put lavender bath salts, warm water. Just fucking sit there in silence. And it's gonna be really boring until your mind starts to race. And then all of a sudden, you're coming up with solutions for shit that you didn't even know you had an issue with.
Or problems for things that you didn't even know were a problem.
Yeah. And that's ultimately how you find peace in life, is like, again, what do we say? Self-love is like causing yourself pain so that you can have peace. Like, you're not the one causing yourself pain. You're taking yourself out of things that you're so familiar with that it feels painful. But really what you're doing is you're bringing peace to your life. Like, have you ever seen a girl say, I was so afraid to leave and I was so upset, or like, this was me during the relationship, and then it's like me out of the relationship, and yeah, you're sad, but are you screaming? Are you sobbing?
Are you crying?
Are you terrorized every day? No, you might be sad, but you're not like at this heightened fight or flight mentality anymore, because you're at peace.
And if everybody would just take like 50, I mean, if you could even do 15 minutes a day to just be by yourself, truly, no book, no nothing.
Just sit with your thoughts. Something no I music
do.
Either.
No music, no, because that's something I'll do, is like I'll read before bed thinking that that's time. No.
Me with music.
That's another distraction.
Yeah.
If you could take 15 minutes, and this was extremely extremely implemented in my therapy program is 15 minutes a day of uninterrupted meditation, whether that be breathing, breath work, or just sitting there and feeling how you actually feel, pinpointing where the anxiety, the sadness, the whatever it may be comes from, feeling it and then going through it instead of ignoring it, you can live the rest of your day in peace.
Isn't it funny that I kind of like started to do that on my own? Because I don't like meditating. I don't like laying there with my eyes closed. Like sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But genuinely, sitting there with no distractions and just...
Find the pain, find the anger, find the anxiety, and feel it. Sit with it. And it will dissipate on its own. If you ignore it and push it around, and that was my biggest problem. That was what my therapist came to the point. I was like, I don't feel these things. He's like, let's find out if you do or not. Turns out it was all there. Always. And if you sit with it, it will dissipate. If you don't, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until
you explode.
You become a person that you don't even recognize anymore. Like you're very reactive. You're very impulsive. This is why alcoholism and drug use and all of these things become so prominent.
Well, and speaking to the guy that I was talking about in this podcast, you could also go the other direction where you become super avoidant of people and you don't want to be around people. And, you know, like there's like two sides to the spectrum. Everything's a spectrum. Like the pendulum swings so far one way that it has to like loop back around at the other end. And I genuinely can see like, cause he would blame a lot of his shit on like the trauma and the things that he had been through. And that's why I feel for people like that, but that doesn't mean it's any less excuse to like not work on yourself and sit with yourself and sit with the pain. Cause however you perceive pain and however you deal with it is fine. Everyone's different, but the way to heal is always the same. And it's always from within yourself.
And you can't avoid it. You can try. I tried my little heart out to avoid that shit. All I did was compound it. And by the time I finally found it, there was so much that I'm still dealing with it.
Or like for someone on the other side of the spectrum where all they do is avoid it and pretend it doesn't exist and push it all to the side. It's like by the time they deal with it, it's the same thing. There's so much to deal with, and all they've taught themselves all this time is that their safety place is like no one, nothing, just themselves. But like how safe of a place are you for yourself if you can't even be with yourself to heal through your pain?
And that's all comes back to like the self-love thing.
Yeah.
Do you love yourself enough to sit through pain or to cause yourself pain by leaving a situation in order to find a happiness or a solution in the future? This is the thing about human beings. We are so hardwired. If we've invested in something that we want to continue to invest. So that's why it's so hard to pull out of a relationship that you have invested in, even though you know it's not right. It's like when you go to a restaurant and they tell you there's a 30-minute waiting time. So you're like, okay, that's kind of annoying, but fine, we'll wait 30 minutes. You wait 30 minutes, nobody comes to get you. It's 40 minutes. You're like, okay, you go talk to the host. She's like, I'm so sorry, it's really busy. It's going to be another 30 minutes. Normally, you would have been like, if they would have told you there was an hour and 10-minute wait time, you would have found a different restaurant. But you've already been sitting there for 40 minutes. You want to go to the restaurant, you came to the restaurant to eat.
You've already put in so much time.
You're halfway there. You're like, okay, fuck it. Let's just stay for the next 30 minutes. And so you're already invested. So you continue to invest. You stay, an hour and a half rolls around. You get your table. You get that gratification. But there's like that still level of like annoyance. Why did I wait this long? It's not what I would have done. It's not what I wanted. It almost takes away the satisfaction. The food comes out.
It's almost a little stale. It's cold.
They're busy. The service sucks because they're horribly busy.
But you chose to wait.
You invested the time so you continued to invest in something that turns out wasn't as good for you as you thought it was going to be. It's the same thing in relationships. If you put 30 minutes in and you're like, okay, this isn't looking good. Things are not looking bright, but like I've already invested it. I'm going to stay and hold out.
Instead of being like, this is not giving what it needs to give. Let's go to a different restaurant.
My girl, the food's going to be cold and soggy. The service is going to suck.
Already cold and soggy, but you invested so much time that you're about to sit there and eat that cold, soggy food.
And if you would have turned around at that 30-minute point where you already invested 30 minutes and said, okay, we don't want to wait. We're going to go to a different restaurant.
You show up, you get sat immediately. Food's hot. Service is great.
Everybody's smiling.
Yeah.
Your party's happy. How much pain could you have saved yourself in the long run by just choosing to pull out when you should have pulled out?
Yeah, period.
Long story short for this pod is the way somebody treats you is the way that they feel about you.
And if you're a dummy like me and you like to give someone 12 chances, we're not judging you, but we are here to tell you that it's not worth the fucking stress.
No,
it's just not worth it.
You've never invested too much time.
Never.
I hear people say that all the time. Like, I can't get it back. I wasted my prime.
No.
I'm fucking over.
You know when you're starting to waste your time is when you choose to stay because of the time you've wasted. Like, the second you realize that is the second that you get to start over. You get to start fresh.
There is no bigger waste of time than knowing that you're with somebody that you shouldn't or don't want to be with and staying with them anyway.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a waste of fucking time?
Yeah.
Like, you
the
can't...
The second you knew when you decided to stay.
You can't get it back.
And even if you did know and you decided to stay, still, you did not waste your time, because I would assume that most of the people listening to this podcast are young, but even if you're in your 50s, 60s, there is still time.
There's a whole life ahead of you.
There's a whole life ahead of you.
You are always one decision away from an entire brand new life.
Yeah.
One choice away from everything being different. So on that note, we'll see you the next week after the next week.
Madison's going to be in Ibiza.
Ibiza.
And then when she gets back, we will be back for episode 34.
Cheers, baddies.
Cheers, baddies.